Daniel. Here we are in the fall holiday season. I'm sure a lot of us have started packing and planning for the upcoming Feast of Tabernacles. But what about next Saturday, the Day of Atonement? Have we started making plans to keep this holy day? We should be looking forward to it as a spiritual feast day, a day that we perform a physical feast. We know that we have to afflict our souls for a 24-hour period next Friday evening. This day is considered the most holy of all the holy days. It is also called the Sabbath of Sabbaths. A day of atonement is not like any other holy day, because its main purpose is to cleanse and afflict ourselves and draw even closer to God. It is a holy day that commands us to observe it as a reminder about something that happened to God's people in history. It is one of the holy days that is totally focused on our relationship and our attitude toward God, and also focuses on mankind's future, where Satan will be bound. But brethren, we have to do our part too, don't we? This holy day is more about attitude and our relationship with our great Creator God. Brethren, what did Jesus Christ do when he needed to get closer to God and have more strength and guidance? He prayed and fasted, didn't he? During the 24-hour period we are to fast, we are also not to do any kind of physical work. We're not to do any service work, such as preparing food or cleaning our homes. And there are any small children to be taken care of, that's different, as well as someone that needs to take medication. So the title of my sermon today is, How Can We Get Physically and Spiritually Ready for the Day of Atonement? Let's turn to Leviticus 16, verse 29 through 31. Leviticus 16, verse 29. Verse 31. There shall be a statute forever for you in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month. You shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of a solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. Brethren, I find it very interesting that it states, three verses states over and over again, that we're not to do any work and we're to rest on this day. And that it shall be a statute forever. This phrase is repeated in these verses, in three verses. That means it's very important, brethren. Another translation, part of verse 29 says, You must spend your day in self-examination and humility. That's a very good translation and example of what this day is all about, isn't it, brethren? We know that when we want a good example or how we are supposed to be doing something, we always look in our Bibles at Jesus Christ's physical life upon this earth. Let's turn to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. This chapter is known as the Temptation of Christ. And it takes place right after John the Baptist has baptized Jesus. Matthew 4, verse 1 through 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I would be too. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of Man, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Even after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was physically hungry, but he was still spiritually strong and could quote scripture back at the devil tempting him. And we know Jesus did not think or give in to those temptations. Fasting is one of the best tools that God has given us to help us live a Christian life in this darkened world. We know that other tools are Bible study, prayer, and meditation. But fasting is one of the best ways to help us draw closer to God and think more about Him. Let's turn to Luke 5. Luke 5. Luke 5, verse 33 and 35. Jesus was questioned about his disciples fasting and what he told the people. Luke 5, verse 33 and 35. They said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours goes on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, Can you make the friend of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast. Christ right here was telling the people that when he is gone, then his disciples would fast even more. Brethren, when I was a young boy, growing up in the church, my mother and father would set me down and explain the Day of Atonement coming up. And they would tell me and my brothers that I had to fast. You know, I'd get so upset and depressed that I couldn't have food or water for a whole day. They tried to explain it in different ways, tried to understand and appreciate it, but it never seemed to help. So me and my brother come up with different strategies to help us get through that fast day that seemed to just drag along. One strategy was that before sundown on the night before atonement, my brother and I tried to eat and drink as much food and water as possible. The thinking was that our stomach would be full and we wouldn't be hungry the next day. Brethren, it didn't work. And sometimes we just made ourselves sick and miserable. And then we'd hardly get any sleep and be very grouchy the next day. Another strategy was to be clock watchers and spies while treating it as a hunger game. We would watch and announce the time when all would stop eating and drinking and make everyone else in the house did too at the same time during the 24-hour period. Of course, there was no way to know who was drinking in the shower or from the sink while they brushed their teeth. But some reason, spying on others did not make it any easier to get through that 24-hour period. So after we would return home from church, we would keep each informed. How much time was left before we could eat and drink again? My brother kept bugging me. Only 2 hours. 1 hour to go. But off to the bathroom, he went to brush his teeth again. Another strategy is, this one's for the teenagers. This was tried by my wife. Was to stay in bed as long as possible, and not waste any energy moving around so she wouldn't be thirsty or hungry. She told her mother the night before her plan and asked her to please let her sleep as long as possible. Then she would just get up, and she wasn't even going to make her bed and just get ready for church. She says besides going to church and almost drinking out of the water fountain, it made for a very long and a boring day, and she would never try that strategy again. My last strategy was tried by a friend of mine. He drank coffee all day, all night long, every day. You know where this is going. So we got the idea if he drank a cup of coffee or two before sundown, that it would help him not get a caffeine withdrawal. Well, you guessed what happened. He could not go to sleep that night. And when he finally got to sleep, he woke up right before church with a horrible headache. So he said he'd never try that again either. So what is our strategy going to be this year, brethren? Do we even have a strategy? To observe this day as it was intended, let's begin by getting some background on this commanded fast day. Even as adults, we might get upset or down just thinking about fasting on the Day of Atonement. Is that the kind of attitude God wants us to have? Let's find out. Let's turn to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, beginning in verse 1 through 14. Isaiah 58, I'll be reading this out of the NIV. This is the true fasting chapter. And this chapter was probably written about 740 B.C. while the Jews were in captivity and were trying to fast and find favor from God and release from their bondage. Verse 1, shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. Verse 2, for day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways. If they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commandments of its God. They just ask me for decisions and seem eager for God to come near unto them. Brethren, we know that time and time again, the Jews were taken into captivity by other nations because they stopped keeping the commandments of God, and that also included the Sabbath and the holy days. Let's go on now to verse 3 to see what the people said to God and what he said back to them. Why have we fasted, they said? Have you not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? You on the day of fasting, you do as you please, and exploit all your workers. God was telling them that he knew what they were up to, and their attitude was not right. That's why their fasting and prayers had not been answered. Let's go on to verse 4. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today, and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves. It is only for bowing one's head like a reed, and for lying in sackcloth and ashes. Is this what you call a fast day, a day acceptable to the Lord? It appears that they were more concerned about themselves and their outward appearance while they were fasting than what was really going on in their minds. Let's go on, verse 6. Is not this kind of fasting I have chosen? To lay the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the press free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wandering with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. God was trying to tell them to change their attitudes and their hearts toward all the people and even those in their own families. Let's go on to verse 8 and see what God says can happen if they would only repent and change. Verse 8. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of the oppression, with the pointing finger and the malice talk, and if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your fame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring where water never fails. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called the repairer of broken walls, the restorer of streets with dwellings. God goes on to tell the people they must do and continually do and receive these blessings. Verse 13. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy days, if you call a Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land, and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. There it is, brethren. What they were supposed to be doing, and what they were keeping today until Jesus Christ returns, and what we are to be keeping today until Jesus Christ returns. That's keeping the Sabbath on the holy days. And we'll find our joy in the Lord. You know, even after growing up in the church, the Day of Atonement as a young lad never really made any sense to me or gave me any comfort or joy until one atonement as a teenager. It just hit me. I finally realized what this day really means. And what a major, major change in life it's going to be for this whole world. That's when I realized I want to be a part of that day. To draw even closer to God and find out what it pictures for all of mankind. We just went through the Feast of Trumpets, which pictures the return of Jesus Christ as kings to this earth in the near future. And next week, we're going to celebrate the Day of Atonement. Yes, celebrate. It should be a celebration of becoming at one with our great Creator God. Someday the whole world's attitude of this day is going to change too. Most human beings on the earth today has never even heard of the Day of Atonement or know what it means or how they're supposed to keep it. But in the world tomorrow, they will all want to keep it. When should we begin ready to observe the Day of Atonement? It's kind of sandwiched between the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles, isn't it? But that doesn't make it any less important to God. We talk about strategies that me and my brothers and some friends used many years ago. I'd like to give you four real strategies, our suggestions, to help you start preparing spiritually and physically for the Day of Atonement 1 week from today. I hope you get the dual meanings of these suggestions. Our first suggestion: we shouldn't stuff ourselves with physical food the day before. But I mean really bulk up on our daily Bible reading and our daily prayer before the Day of Atonement. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. God is talking to the children of Israel after giving them the Ten Commandments. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Verse 2, and you shall remember that your Lord your God led you all these ways, these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and to test you, and to know what was in your heart, and whether you're going to keep his commandments or not. God tested them for 40 years to see if they would obey and follow him. They were just to keep the Sabbath and the holidays each year, just like us, brethren. Let's go on to verse 3 now. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor your fathers know, that he might make you known that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. God allowed them to get hungry, and then he gave them manna to eat. And he wanted them to know that they were to have the spiritual food every day as well. Some advice to go along with this one is not to eat a healthy meal before atonement, but have some carbs, such as pasta or potatoes, to give you the boost for the next day. Also, you should drink only about 2 quarts of water before your pre-fast meal. That will help your body get the extra water it needs. Our second point, the second suggestion. Brethren, on that day, we should focus on our own sins and faults, and not those of others. Everyone makes mistakes, brethren. And we could ask others for forgiveness and to let us know if there is anything else we have done that has caused them sadness or harm. Then we can confess our sins to God and pray for forgiveness also. Let's turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Judge not, that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Brother, these scriptures right here remind me of me and my brothers and how we used to spy and tattle on each other all those years ago. That wasn't right, was it? Our third point, third suggestion. Let's try and not be lazy and slothful on the Day of Atonement. We all know that we're commanded to appear before God at church and in fellowship with others who are also fasting also. So on that day, when we talk to others, we should be talking about godly things, not how hungry or how much food we had the night before or where we're going to eat later after the fast. We should be positive and help each other out. Some medical research even suggests that resting during a fast helps us relax and wake up feeling refreshed and a little fuller at the same time. We don't have to turn there, but in Proverbs 13, verse 4, it says, the appetite of the lazy craves and gets nothing,
while the appetite of the diligent is richly supplied. Our fourth suggestion, we should carve our cravings and the desires that can distract us from God. This can be a big stumbling block for many people on the Day of Atonement. If we let our cravings come between God or between us and God. This last strategy is very important and needs some defining. Let's define the term crave. To ask earnestly, to want greatly, to yearn for. We all crave things from time to time. We crave food when we're hungry and water when we're thirsty. But what happens when we give in to cravings and put them before God, our family, and our friends, and our even own well-being? I think we know the answer to that. Some things or substance can become addictions. That means we fall into one of Satan's favorite traps. That's temptation, brethren. Giving in to worldly desires and turning away from God. So let's see what our great Creator says about these fleshly desires. We don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 26, verse 41, out of the NIV, it says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptations. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." We should not be caught up in the cares, addictions, and distractions like the rest of this world is. We are to be focusing on living our lives to obey, serve God, and everything else will fall right into place. Let's turn to Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 34 through 36. These verses are talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we can prepare for that day. It can also be used for the Day of Atonement. Luke 21, verse 34. "Take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day will come upon you unexpected. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." So here's some advice to go along with that scripture. If you're a coffee or a soda drinker, you can start 1 week from today, 1 week before, which is today, by drinking one less cup of coffee or soda that you normally would. And then tomorrow, only drink one cup. And then come Thursday and Friday, you'll be ready to fast on the Day of Atonement. It is also recommended that we not eat a lot of sugar, as those things can be addicting and cause cravings also. Let's go back to Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7. Only this time I'll read it out of the NIV. From the New Living Translation. Sorry about that. Isaiah 58, 6 and 7. "No, this is the kind of fast I want. Free those who are wrong imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free, and remove the chains that blind people. Share your food with the hunger, and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help." Let's skip down to 13 and 14. "Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interest on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath and everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idle. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. So now we know the Day of Atonement serves only two purposes. That's to cleanse our bodies and help us draw even ever closer to God. Hopefully by using these four strategies, we can be more productive the fast day, the Day of Atonement. So let's not miss out at being one with our great Creator God and drawn even closer to Him than ever before.